We have been studying passages of Scripture that deal with our relationships to one another. Last time, two weeks ago, it was on the various places that talk about bearing with one another. It so happens this appears again in this text, but then he talked about forgiving one another. And I hope that these lessons are beneficial to us. There are so many of these scattered throughout the New Testament. And I think that we can gain a great deal in a practical way to think about these and how we can make application in our lives. So the text for this morning's lesson is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. So then, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We want to talk about forgiveness for a few moments. And learning to forgive is such an important part of learning to be a true disciple of Christ. In fact, I'd say that it's essential. We really cannot be followers of Christ if we do not learn how to forgive. I might also say that it's also important to learn how to be forgiven. Sometimes the old adage is, well, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. And sometimes the answer is, well, only the Lord can forgive us of our sins. But Lord's not the only one we want to have forgiveness from. And we'll talk about that some of our lesson. And maybe one of the problems that we have is we need to be ready to forgive ourselves. But that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about just the basic idea of forgiveness that presented this text and the relationship that we have with others and the fact that there are going to be times when we need to look within our hearts and find a place to be forgiven. It is a choice that we make as those who have been chosen by God. And that's what this text is saying, that if we are truly God's elect, God's chosen, which the New Testament says we are as Christians, then we need to have a certain attitude. He says to put on this kind of heart in verse 12. And then he talks about having a forbearing spirit toward one another. And then perhaps the most obvious way that a forbearing spirit is manifested is in a willingness to forgive. We also see that it's part of the attitude that we must have in order to preserve unity. And we see in Ephesians chapter 4, in the passage that we looked at this morning in our first lesson, and it talked about being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It is this attitude of humility and gentleness and patience and tolerance for one another. And we need to be able to do that. When we come down to the end of Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 32, to be kind to one another and tenderhearted and forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. What we see here in this text, as well as in the text that we've chosen to begin our lesson, is that before we can look around, we must first look within. Now, I want to think about that. What do I mean by that? Before we can look around, first we must look within. What I mean by that is that in various places where the Scriptures talk about the importance of being willing to forgive others, first we need to look at ourselves and be reminded that God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us, and that's what makes it possible for us to forgive others. And there are various reminders of that we want to consider. We have to learn to forgive. And if we can just always remember how much we have been forgiven, that the Lord is willing to forgive us of our sins, then we'll be in a place where we can forgive others. Forgiveness begins with having a forgiving heart. So in my thoughts this morning, I want to consider two passages in Matthew where Jesus teaches important lessons on forgiveness. And as we compare these two, there are two possible kinds of situations that we encounter in life where forgiveness is needed. And those are either you are the offender, that is, I am the offender, I'm the one who's responsible for the offense and for the friction and the problem that has come along, or I am the one who has been offended. I'm the recipient. So we find ourselves on either end of that circumstance sometimes. Sometimes I'm the guilty party, sometimes the other person's the guilty party. I want to tell you the Bible addresses both of these and suggests that on whichever end of that situation that we find ourselves in, we have a responsibility to try to seek reconciliation. So let's think first of all on the matter of seeking forgiveness. What about when I am the offender? I need to seek forgiveness when I have offended another person. In Matthew chapter 5, it's a section of the Sermon on the Mount, and here Jesus talks about personal relationships. And he says in verse 21, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Strong words. Then he says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, you leave your offering there before the altar, and go and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. So here's the scene that's described. Let's put it this way. I'm on my way to worship. I'm on my way to worship God. And then I realize, I remember, that I have offended somebody. Maybe I said something I should not have said. Maybe I've done something that's mean. What should I do? Look at this text again. You're presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. What do you do? He says you leave your offering there, you go be reconciled to your brother first, and then you can come present your offering. You know, is it possible to think there's actually something that's a priority over worshiping God? And if there's something that should take priority over coming to worship God, what is it? It is taking care of situations like this. First, go and be reconciled. And then you come and present your offering. You know, the word be reconciled here, the key term here, is talking about going through a process that results in resolving a conflict. And when you go through this process, then the enmity is replaced by friendship and hostility is replaced by concord, and that's being reconciled. He said, first you go be reconciled to your brother. But as he's describing it here, I'm ready to present my offering, and I remember that my brother has something against me. The implication is I've done something to offend this person. I might be the guilty party. And so what should I do? You ever been in a situation like that where you realize maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, you've done something that was hurtful? And are we as ready as we ought to be? You know, it ought to be a priority. I think what this is saying is it ought to be a priority that I don't need to wait for that person to come in and ask for me to forgive them. I need to go to them. I can take the first step. That's what this is saying. Go ahead and take the first step and go and be willing to say to the person, I may have done something that I shouldn't have done, and I want to make it right. Will you forgive me? How many times have you ever been in a situation like that? You know, we've all been in those situations, haven't we? And there will be plenty of times when we recognize whether we did it intentionally or not, where maybe we've created a circumstance between someone, whether it's a friend or a fellow Christian or a neighbor or even someone in our own immediate family. Always be the one ready to take the first step to seek forgiveness and to be reconciled. But then there is being willing to forgive when I have been offended. To be ready to extend forgiveness. And for this, the well-known passage is in the 18th chapter of Matthew. The background to this parable is in verses 15 through 17, what to do if one brother sins against another. And he talks about how you go to that person in private first and try to bring about a reconciliation. If that doesn't work, then you take it to others and so forth. And so he's trying to teach a situation where in the church that we don't let things go too long. If there's a problem, we try to do something to rectify the problem. So when Peter comes up and says, "Well, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Now, you know, Peter asked this question because Jesus had been talking about the importance of dealing with these difficult circumstances. And so Peter says, "Well, how often should I do it?" Now, a lot of the Jewish teachers, the rabbis, taught that a man was to be forgiven three times only. And he put a limit there. Forgive him three times, that's enough. After that, you're done. Well, so Peter says seven times. He thought he was being pretty generous, evidently. So seven times. That's all. Seven, that's a number of completeness in Scripture, isn't it? I'll forgive him seven times. That's a generous number. What does Jesus say? I don't say seven times. I say up to 70 times seven. 70 times seven, that's a lot. And then to get the point across, he teaches this parable. And so here's a man who owes this exorbitant debt. He's depicted here as in the story as one of the slaves to a king. And the king wanted to settle accounts with his slaves, and he found this one that owed him 10,000 talents. It's a story, it's a parable. So how he came to be so indebted, we're not told. That's really not an important part of the story. What is important to recognize is that 10,000 talents is a lot of money. It's impossible to convert that to modern currency, but a talent was generally worth more than 15 years' wages of a laborer. It takes 15 years for a common laborer to earn one talent. He owes 10,000 talents. We're talking about, is that a debt that anybody can repay? Probably very few people could. Certainly not a slave like that. So there's nothing he can do. He's going to be sold. So he begs for mercy and he's forgiven. He's forgiven. The king is this merciful. He has a soft, compassionate heart. And he forgives him. What an amazing thing to think that owing an unpayable debt, so you can't even count that high. And you owe this debt, and he says, "Okay, you're free and clear." What a... We would think that would be such an amazing gift, such a feeling of elation and a burden lifted. And it must have been. But then, the same fellow finds a fellow servant who owes him a relatively small sum of money. 100 denarii. A denarius was a day's wage. 100 denarii. Pretty little bit of money, but that's nothing compared with the other amount. And what did he do? He refuses to forgive. He grabbed him. It says he began to choke him, grabbed him by the throat, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe. Pay back what you owe." And what does he say to his fellow slave? He says, "Have patience with me and I will repay you." The exact words, those are the exact words. That's the power of the parable here. That very same words that he himself had said to his master, the king. And now his fellow slave is saying the same thing to him. "Have mercy and I will repay you. Have mercy on me. Give me a chance. Be patient. Be patient." But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. And of course, the rest of the story is that the king finds out what he's done, and so he says, you should have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you. Now, surely we can see that underlying a parable like this is that the part of the story where the servant is forgiven so much by the king is meant to make us think about how much God has forgiven us. That's what that's intended. He doesn't have to say that. That's implied. God has forgiven us so much. It's a debt that we cannot possibly repay ourselves. This debt of sin. God has forgiven us. He has been merciful to us. He has forgiven us so much. But then the part of the parable where the same servant who was forgiven so much refuses to forgive his fellow servant of a relatively small amount. And the unspoken part there in the parable is, I must forgive my fellows. I must forgive because I have been forgiven so much. And so that leads us then to the last point I want us to take away from the lesson is, remember God's forgiveness always. We should seek forgiveness when we've been offended. We should seek forgiveness when we have been the offender. We should forgive when we've been offended. But in every circumstance, we should remember God's forgiveness. That's what I want us to recognize. Always remember God's forgiveness. There are so many places in Scripture that we could turn to that this idea is brought to our minds. Psalm 103 is one where David is praising God for the Lord's mercies and all of the many ways that God has demonstrated His mercy. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. In verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us. He will not always keep His anger. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. What is all that saying? He is praising God over and over again for His loving kindness, His compassion, and His willingness to forgive us of our sins. God is always there to forgive us of our sins. And every time that we find ourselves either on the giving or receiving end of an offense, it behooves us to remember that we were estranged from God. There was enmity between us and our Creator. That God Himself reached out. He sent His Son to be the ultimate sacrifice to provide a way for us to be reconciled to Him. And He's always there to forgive us of our sins. And that's why the Apostle Paul repeatedly says, forgive others just as God has forgiven you. What a powerful message that ought to be for us. Jesus Christ gave His life so that you and I can have the forgiveness of sins. He instituted the Lord's Supper. His words were, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. He died to make it possible. So should we not be ready to forgive? Forgive one another. That's the lesson. And we'll have plenty of opportunities in life to put a lesson like this in practice. Believe me, we all know, we've all been there. There are plenty of opportunities to seek for forgiveness because it happens in life. Be ready to forgive just as God has forgiven us. And if you think about the Lord's readiness to forgive, that's a good way to end our services today and to end this service and to sing an invitation song, is to just reflect on the fact that the Lord is always ready to forgive, and He gave His Son so that could be possible. Let's stand as we sing.
and can wash away.